Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on another exciting episode of the Triforce podcast.
Who would have thought? I mean, what? It's like 500 episodes now. It's crazy.
Yeah. I know. I love this. This is my highlight of the week. I'm looking forward to telling you.
Yeah.
I've written one thing down.
Okay.
I've written one thing down.
Is it just a single word?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. Okay. No, it's a single sentence. Okay. People who are cheap. That's what I wrote down. People who are cheap.
Misers. People who open up their wallet and moths fly out of it.
Is that what you're talking about? Like penny pinching, stingy?
Yes, that people. Is. And the reason is because I was hanging out with some of my friends.
Wow, we're just getting right into it, eh? Like, no, how are you doing? What's up? We're already complaining about cheap people.
Who cares how we're doing? By the time this comes out, won't matter.
Easter weekend's just been. Now, Easter weekend, a time when the bunny has hidden things around for people to find, and you have to scavenge around for them, okay?
Yep.
But this is what I did this weekend was, I won't name these people I hung out with from the office, but they were using this app called Too Good To Go, okay?
Right.
There's this thing which I think a lot of takeaway places have done for a while, which is when their food's about to go out of date at the end of the day, instead of chuck it in the bin, they give it to like a homeless charity, right?
Sure.
Or something like that. But now, and also for some shops, I'm sorry, they can't really do that because I'm not sure... You know, if you're a fucking bistro artisan bakery, you can't give away your 11-pound jar of pâté that's going out of date a fucking homeless guy.
Why not?
Well, I guess you can. Why not? Fuck it. Well, but instead, no. Instead, what you do is you sign up to this app called Too Good To Go, right?
Yeah,
People can spend like £2 or £3 on a magic box. That's what it's called.
Oh, right? My God.
And it's basically, in some places it's just a random fucking eclectic mix of crap, whatever's left over, right? Because, for example, like, a lot of supermarkets are on there, and you know the supermarket out-of-date section. Everyone has a little glance when they're in the supermarket in case they can, you know, well, cheap people do.
It's always the same few things in those baskets.
It's tubs of mascarpone cheese.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just shit that nobody else wanted.
Like children's pizzas.
And now you're the sucker who's going to buy that shit that nobody else wanted.
You think
you're going to get a good deal on it as well.
Like sugar-free spotted dick. I don't know. It's fucking weird shit in there, mostly. Yeah. And you're like,
sugar-free
stuff
spotted
that you'd never buy anyway.
God, sign me up. I didn't realize that they
were
that.
Rice Krispie squares always seem to be in there. Like packets of
for
Rice
some
Krispie
reason.
Squares.
So I guess if you did this thing from the supermarket, they would give you a random bag of guff from there. And I think so. What I did was on the weekend, you know, these people were sort of going around to different places and getting these magic boxes of stuff.
Right.
And some would have like croissants and tomato soup from like a coffee shop, and others would have like. One of them was like had a 9-pound wheel of sheep's cheese, and like a ham and cheese baguette. So it's some stuff that I can't really eat anyway because of the mystery of it. But I mean, it is like a proper. It's not really a mystery. If you go to a bakery, you're probably going to get bread, you know. But some places, obviously, like Eat a Pitta, which has been going forever, just uses it as an extra place to get free fucking orders. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And they're just like, well, you know, we've got to make three. Just the pittas that they make are so dirt cheap anyway. Do you know what I mean? It's like a bit of couscous, some sad looking lettuce, some grated carrot that costs nothing. You know, so they're selling this thing for more than it probably cost them anyway, even at the magic box discount. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting because of the idea of the, I didn't actually hate it. I actually quite enjoyed walking around town, going to these places that I'd never been.
Get to the juicy bit. Did anybody get fired off the back of this? Because you said you were hanging out with people from the office and you sound like kind of mad. Like, did you just say like, fuck, you're fired. You bought the spotted dick and that was the trap and you're out. Like,
First of all, the office, it's worth saying, the Oxcast is like 4 people now. Do you know what I mean? I've slowly been removed from any responsibility. And positions of being able to fire people.
How people view this as well. Like every once in a while on stream, they're like, oh, Lewis isn't going to pay your wages and stuff. So like, oh, yeah, I guess he's not going to pay my salary. That I'm
how it works. I love, yeah, people assume that I'm some big boss, you know, in charge of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not, thing is, I've always been a bit of a cheap ass. Do you know what I mean? I think that, I mean, not to like the extreme cheapskate guy, but that sort of thing is only like a middle class dumpster diving, right? Basically, yeah, people love the thing for free and it kind of legitimizes it. They have to go out and collect it from the place as it's closing, you know, because it gives you like a window of like 15 minutes before the place closes. So you have to go there and pick up whatever's left over and they'll shove it in a magic bag. But some people love doing that. They love like taking extra fucking condiment packs from places. You know, I've been to some people's houses where they've had a cupboard full of ketchup packets.
I hate that.
And you're like, do you know what I mean? You're like, they're like, why should I ever have to buy a bottle of tomato ketchup when I can just get it for free?
Yeah. The thing is, like with us, I don't generally do that and I would never really do that, but we do that now that we have kids because
they love eating ketchup out of the sachet.
Well, no, but it's like for some reason my kids just love the idea that it comes in this little tiny sachet. So if there's extras laying around, they take them and then we end up with them sort of thing. I'm gonna pull the old you know, I'm a parent and I'm too busy to do that kind of stuff card, and I'm a parent and I'm too busy to do that kind of stuff. Store 5 minutes before it closes just to get like a deal on spotted dick or whatever.
What's the name of the app again?
Yeah,
but I gotta say, even if I wasn't a parent and I had all the time in the world, I would get a life and just find something better to do with my time, honestly. Like, I just wouldn't do that again. I wouldn't do that. So
it's called Too Good to Go. There you go. I'm advertising this app for no reason, but I feel like it is a bit eco, right? Because apparently 1/3 of all food is like wasted, but at the same time I do cynically get the feeling that some of the places that I went to are literally just making more food to use this as a secondary app to sell it under the marketing guise of you know, people
but they're selling it at a knockdown price, right?
But I mean, they're already selling it at a massively inflated price.
Yeah, but I don't think they're not going to give you a box full of stuff. What's the benefit to that? Hey guys, with this we can slash our prices and still sell the same product. Why would you do that? Companies don't want to slash their prices. They want to raise their prices. So I don't see it as a ploy.
I don't know.
I think it's a way to cover the loss.
You know the markup on some of this stuff though, right? Coffee shop's markup on stuff is insane.
Right.
You know, a coffee shop sandwich is £5 to begin with.
Right,
and,
however,
your business proposal, two coffee shop sandwiches for £3 and suddenly you've still made a quid.
Right, but your proposal is saying, hey guys, we have really high margins at the moment. What if we slashed those margins and gave this stuff away for very little? What business is going to propose? If you propose it in the boardroom, Johnson, you're fired. Get out of here.
Yeah, I think
you're
it's probably a volume thing, right? They probably get a lot of the stuff for cheap anyway. And then, like you said, they massively mark it up. And it's just a gamble, right? And then because there's trading standards and stuff and there's certain things that they have to adhere to, like, you know, sell-by dates and all that kind of crap. And it looks bad for them if they're selling something that's like on or close to like a sell by or use by date or whatever. They probably just think we're still going to make some money off of this if we just float it off a little bit cheaper or whatever. Otherwise it's just waste, right?
I don't think people are thinking about it as a viable business model. Although some shops have always done that, like Primark have always operated on these razor thin margins, you know, deliberately to kind of make that part of their thing. And every time you go into Primark, it's fucking, I can't believe it. It's so full of people. This is pre-COVID, obviously, but every time I went into Primark, it was like a fucking COVID. It was like a nightclub in there. I mean, everyone was packed in like fucking, you know, you'd have to like squeeze your way in and like you'd pop out the door. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. One in, one out, literally.
You just like hope that you picked toys. Up something that you needed along the way as well. It's like,
yeah. So I don't know. I'm not unhappy with the idea of it. I think it's cool, but like, and I like that it's like filling in a gap, you know, it's like solving that problem of, because people were just dumping stuff in the bins outside. The real sufferer here is obviously those people who used to go through the bins and get their free sandwiches that way, you know, those people, because they were always like so triumphant whenever you saw them. Whenever you saw this on TV, someone found like a loaf of bread in the bin,
or like
and they were like,
big
look at this,
or something.
Perfectly good loaf of bread, and someone's throwing it away. They were so delighted. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess it also leads on from last week's chat about meal prep, you know, the kind of frugally eating, you know, to like avoid expenses. Oh, you know, don't eat lunch. You know, you'll save £3.50 on that meal deal every day. So, you know, you can put that towards, you know, cigarettes or
did
whatever.
Did you know that you
spend their money on
£600 a year on coffees when you could save that £600 and buy lube for your butt instead?
I think everyone should be financially like smart and stuff, but some people were just cheap. Like I remember when we were going on holiday, a bunch of us, this was before I started doing YouTube and stuff, so I didn't have any money at all, and you know, it's always a pain in the ass being that guy who organizes stuff, even like when I was in a student house, because if you're the guy who pays the landlord the rent, you have to get that off all your other housemates, right? And they don't hate you like they hate the landlord, but they hate you a little bit.
Don't shoot the messenger for money for the electricity
and the council tax and all these other fucking things. Actually, I don't think you have to pay.
I can't imagine living in a house where one person was delegated with that responsibility. I think that's bullshit.
Well, they would just be corrupted with power, and like the power corrupts in the end, right? Like if Blizzard storylines taught us anything over the years, it's that there's some fel in all of us, and the power can corrupt us. And I think if you give somebody too much power and too much responsibility, ultimately they will just get up to no good with it. So that's why you should never trust one person to sort out all the electrics and everything.
I'm thinking, first of all, they might
committee.
Keep some of the money, and second of all, everybody just pays in on the same day, and if you don't, you're out.
Well, that's the thing, you don't want to be the guy who's making a mountain out of a molehill, PFLAX. You don't want to be creating arguments, you don't want to be that drama guy.
Wait, how is it drama?
PFLAX, you've got no chill, man. You're fucking
pay the fucking bill, there you go. No chill question mark, pay the fucking bill. If you owe money, pay it. I'm sorry, that's it, or you're out. We'll fucking find someone else. It's London, it's easy to get a fucking house, mate. If you can't be asked to pay money, I'm angry. I've never even had a house share like this. I'm livid just thinking about it.
It's not that they won't pay, it's that they say they'll pay and then they don't.
Well,
or
then they're
you know
out.
They forget.
Sorry.
Or but do you know what I mean? So when you're organizing this, like even like something simple as like, I don't know, organizing a trip away for like, you know, five or six of you or something like this. I remember there was this time when we were going on holiday and there was like a place and it had like, it was three room place, right? So we were each going to pay, and there were five of us. So there's two couples and one guy on his own. And he would like, so we were like, we just split everything by five, right? And it was okay that he would get like a double room. Okay. So it was like three double rooms. And so it was like 250 quid each or whatever. It's not very much. And he was like actively looking for other people after we'd like booked the holiday. And I was like, what do you mean? Why are you telling everyone about us going, why are you trying to get someone else to come with you? And he was like, because I can then like, I can pay half if I get, you know, I only pay 125 if I can get a guy to sleep with me in my room and come on holiday with us. And I was like, that's not how it works. You can't just sell the, do you know, because then we'll all have to. Then everyone will pay 200 quid instead of 250. I mean, that's how it works. But he was cheap. I didn't really understand why he was so keen to bring this sixth person. And then until I realized that he thought he'd have to pay half if he did. So people, do you know what I mean? People are so weird sometimes, though, right? And cheap. And this, I get it. Like you can reduce your expenses by changing your gas provider, and you can fucking bicycle to work, and you can, you know, not buy really expensive clothes. I don't know. Like, do you know what I mean? You can cancel all of your subscriptions. There's loads of things you can do. But it's It just sometimes gets on my nerves when people will go out of the way of the sensible things and just try and like take advantage of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I never got all the electricity payments and stuff from people when I was in a student house. And it's not because people were taking advantage of me. It's just because they didn't like me. I think they didn't like me after a while. And I thought I was being
cheap.
That's
understandable.
I think. I was going to say that's the most relatable thing you've said yet.
Oh, man. Listen.
You've got something. All right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I took a week off this week after Easter and stuff.
I saw.
I was just like, you know what? My kids are home for like 2 weeks because they've been back to school since after Christmas and stuff. And
you deserve it.
My son is doing like these intensive swimming lessons every day this week at the same time. So on the first day, I was like, it was on Tuesday. The first one was on Tuesday. And my wife was like, oh, I got to take, you know, Kurt to this swimming lesson. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, and thinking, oh, I'm just going to go and like do whatever. And then, so she took him, and I was like, oh, fuck, I can't really leave my, like, heavily pregnant wife to do this every day this week. Like, it's not really fair. So I just thought, oh, fuck, I'll just take time off. And
yeah, that's good.
And it's been nice. I'm in. I've just been, like, just chilling. It's been really good, actually. I realized this year I just haven't really had, like, any proper, like, time. Not that, like, my job is overly stressful or anything. Like, I don't mind, like, I don't really view it that way sort of thing, but I was just thinking, like, without COVID, I would have been away a couple of times, like, over the year, you know, like, we would have gone on a vacation, or I would have been away for work and stuff like that, and I've just sort of dawned on me that, like, I haven't had any time to just sort of relax away from, like, a life of streaming sort of thing, so it's been good, it's nice, I'll feel nice and refreshed next week when I get back to it, and It'll be great.
I sort of imagine you like that guy, that gif of that guy sort of stood there with his hands behind his back, staring into the distance in nature. You know, stood by the side of the swimming pool.
Oh man, I bought a little greenhouse. Forwards. That's it needs to like arrive, like it comes next week. But I bought this little greenhouse just to get started. You know, my big dream of having like a big, fully kitted out greenhouse. I just wanted to like baby step into it. I want to get a small one. See what I can do and then like expand on it sort of thing. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to be growing weed. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Don't tell anybody, but I'm just joking. No, it'll be nice though. It's big enough that I can grow like some
tomatoes. It's only a matter of time
and maybe some strawberries
and
stuff.
It over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you want to be prepared for, you know, you want to, as soon as it gets legalized, get those seeds in.
Yeah.
You know?
I got to get those seeds in before there's
Get that bud growing.
Yeah.
Get those
heat lamps. I did something I haven't done in a while, and I rented a movie.
Oh, my God.
This was...
On, like digitally, like iTunes or something.
Digitally on Prime.
Oh, nice.
I didn't realize how much it was. It just said, click to rent now, and I clicked the button, and then I realized it was...
And then you rented now.
It was 16 quid, so I was a little bit disappointed. And okay. I just sort of clicked without thinking. It was Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, is that the new...
Oh. Yeah.
I'm a
big fan of Godzilla. Kong can take a leaving. Love Godzilla. All the new movies have sucked, right? But I had to see this one because I'd seen the trailer.
Hang on one second. Are you telling me Pyrian Flax, anime hater, is a fan of Godzilla?
He doesn't hate
anime anymore. They made a Dota anime and he watched it and loved it.
No,
so.
this is listen. How on earth is a monster movie with models an anime? What the fuck planet are you on, dude?
Godzilla is like this very, very, very Japanese, very classic thing, which has been very heavily associated with kind of animations and graphics and over the years it's been going 70 years now. I think it's got like 40 or 50 films and like 20 or 30 animes. Like, it's huge.
I've never even heard of a Godzilla anime other than the old Godzilla and Godzuki cartoon, Godzilla and Pals, I believe it was called, from the 80s.
Oh no, there's loads of them,
right?
I'm talking about
a movie with people and CGI graphics. I'm talking about a fucking cartoon or a comic book.
The one with Matthew Broderick? Is that the one you're talking about?
This is the one. It's got Stellan Skarsgård, or Skellen Skarsgården, or however you pronounce his name.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, it's got the lass who was in... God, what the fuck was she in? She was in Summit anyway. and some other people, and
right.
it's utter bobbins. It's complete bobbins, but...
Well, I mean, here's the thing, the classic thing, I heard someone talking about this in the office, they were like, Godzilla is a terrifying mutant nuclear dinosaur that is indestructible. It's like Superman, but it has a radioactive beam.
Right.
And Kong is a large monkey.
Well, yeah, in essence.
I mean...
However, let's go through the matchup here.
So,
first of all...
Okay, we'll break down the matchup.
I'm gonna... First of all, there's some backstory here that they cover. Now, I don't know if this stuff had been covered in the previous
films. Is
this
from, like, the Jack Black King Kong movie or whatever he was in?
I have no idea.
Island of Kong, Man, Kong
what
Island.
What was that movie with Jack Black where there was, like, people under the stairs or in the walls or whatever? It was, like, a magic movie? That one looked pretty fucked up, too.
Like Jumanji? What?
No, it was, like... I think it had a clock in it or something. I don't know. It's like, I can't remember what it was called.
Anyway, so there's some backstory here
that
I wasn't
Kong
aware of.
Skull
right,
Island.
Kong Skull Island. So I don't know if this film is building on that lore or not. I went in blind, so I'll tell you what I know. The idea is that these are titans. These things are called titans. Godzilla
and
Kong, they're titans. And they've been at war because there can only be one apex titan, like the alpha titan.
Like Pacific Rim.
I have no idea.
Or no, like a pyramid.
Like Highlander, right?
Right. There can be only
or like
one.
Highlander.
So yeah. Kong is for some reason living in a dome on a fake version of his island, being watched over by this lass who was in something that I can't remember, and a kid. And the kid can do sign language because she's deaf. She can do sign language with Kong, we find out.
Of course,
right.
Yeah.
And King Kong...
Of course, because we've seen that. We've seen chimps do sign language.
Right, so they put that
did
in
Did you
there.
Just call King Kong a chimp?
I don't know why he's obsessed with that. You listen to this, you'll find out King Kong's a fucking badass.
What?
Right?
Sorry, what monkey is King Kong then? Is he a gorilla?
Yeah, he looks like a big old silverback.
He's like Bubbles.
Kind of thing.
It's like Michael Jackson's Bubbles the monkey. It's like that. Just big. Just much. Really big.
Well, that was a chimp, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a chimp. So he's not. He's some kind of big gorilla, okay? So,
all right.
And they just call him Kong. They don't call him King Kong. They just call him Kong, not King Kong. I think he's lost the honorific title. Because he got his ass handed to him by Godzilla a few times.
Right.
So, Godzilla's been sleeping.
What, there's previous battle history between...
What's Godzilla? Isn't there like King Ghidorah or something like that? Is that a Godzilla thing too?
I have no
idea. Is that something different?
Oh my God, you're right. Yes, King Kong versus Godzilla from 1962.
Yeah.
So this is one of the OG Godzilla battles.
They fought before.
Yeah, I think Godzilla has battled just about everything.
Yeah, it's Godzilla.
There's a whole series where he's fought. They're kind of like who would win.
Right.
And
imagine,
I guess Godzilla
usually
wins.
There was a whole movie
wins.
About him just having like specifically a lot of trouble with like one really well-engineered building. Like he just couldn't knock that shit down. And he was just like the whole, it was just a very frustrating movie about him just like trying to think of ways to like knock it down. But it would constantly foil all of his efforts.
So I know you're saying that, just to give you some backstory, these Titans, this guy, Skellen, Stars and Skarsgård, he thinks that there's a place called the Hollow Earth,
right.
Which is another Earth within our Earth
right.
That's powered by some mystical radioactive energy.
Like a flat Earth?
But inside the Earth.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, King Kong knows the way there. We should follow him. And they drill this big tunnel straight there, but they need to follow Kong to lead them to somewhere where there's some power. It's very vague. So there's this thing where they had trouble getting there previously. His brother was killed getting there. He hops in this ship that this company called Aperture or Apex or something have made. Godzilla's woken up. He's smashing up their buildings. And they're like, everyone's like, why is he going after this company? Because he hasn't been seen in 3 years. He turns up exactly there, smashes up their site, and they're all angry and everything like that. So there's these other characters, these conspiracy theorist guy who's obsessed that there's some kind of weird technology going on here with Apex, and they're obviously trying to do something no good with Godzilla and Kong. So right. Essentially, they have this little spaceship thing, and they go in through this weird tunnel, and they turn up in the Hollow Earth, which is somehow lit. I don't know where the sun is down there. Mrs. F was very confused. I was very confused. We're just like, what the fuck? There's like a whole nother Earth down here. What's keeping all these plants going? There's like flying birds and everything in the jungle. And Kong's really happy to be home. And everyone's like, yeah, he's home. Look how happy he is. He's like, running about. And they follow him to this cave. And he puts his hand on this door and pushes open a door. And inside is like this sort of temple. And there's a big old axe in there. This is the axe of his people. Now, first of all, this implies that at some point in the past, Titans, which are basically the ones we know about, or Godzilla and King Kong, were able to construct doors, which is confusing. architecture, like quite complex archway-based architecture, which is also confusing because so far all we've seen from Kong and Godzilla is they've just fucked shit up or they're sleeping. Like, that's pretty much what they do. So at some point right. in the past, the Titans were building stuff. Who cares? Kong gets his axe. He's had his ass headed to him by Godzilla in a fight on a boat. Now they're going to have a fight, and this time Kong's got his axe. You wanted to know this. Godzilla's going to fucking own King Kong. Kong has almost an opposable thumb. He could hold an axe. Although they don't show a close-up of his hand, very clearly he must have an opposable thumb or he wouldn't be able to hold an axe. Apparently, no. Kong has an opposable thumb. He can hold an axe, and he charges okay, it up well, with the power from the underground place. And then Godzilla...
A magic axe, sorry.
A magical
a
axe.
A magic axe. Okay, good. Now I understand. I'm actually not so bad. I mean, if Kong was trying to beat him to death with fists... I would have a problem,
well,
right? If he's trying to like,
he's a big
he's trying
lad.
To chuck him around.
Remember, he's a big lad.
I know he's big.
He's the size of Godzilla.
An indestructible dinosaur. How many times can you chuck? It's like judo. Do you know what I mean? No one's killing each other with judo. Fucking hell!
Well, why
Man,
do you
people
think Godzilla's...
are definitely killing each other with judo. What are you talking about?
Well, only if he chokes him out. No one's choking. No, Kong's not choking Godzilla.
How do you know
out,
that?
Is he?
That's that exactly happens in the film. There's all kinds of chokeholds and throws and stuff. It's like an MMA
it's
fight.
It's like yeah, it's like wrestling, but with
they use. Every tool in the book, everything they've got. So then Godzilla, right. sensing that someone's fucking around with the magic axe and all the power, he's in Tokyo at this point, fucking shit. Oh, he's in Hong Kong. He blasts a hole in the earth with his laser beam all the way down to where Kong is. And at the last second, Kong goes, whoa, and dives out of the way. And now there's a hole leading up to Hong Kong. Now get this. They're in that center of the earth. And Kong, to get up to Hong Kong, jumps in the hole and he right. falls all the way up to Hong Kong.
Do you know anytime
I don't
I
know
hear,
how this is possible.
Every time I hear about a movie like this, I always think about Christopher from The Sopranos, like, you know, sort of wheeling and dealing
movie.
Behind the deals, yeah. with behind the scenes trying to get his big idea for a movie off the ground and stuff. And this is the result. Like, this is the movie that he made. And it's been, you know, mob funded and stuff like
it's
that.
It's just unbelievable. Like, he literally yeah. jumps. He's in the center of the earth where gravity is at its strongest, jumps in a hole. And he has to slow himself down. He's falling so fast down this tunnel. He has to slow himself down with the axe. And I'm thinking, did they even think about this for like a second? Like, you jump in a hole at the center of the earth and you fall to the surface? What's happening there? So Kong turns up in Hong Kong, has a massive fight with Godzilla. Godzilla's kicking his ass, Lewis. Axe or no axe, Godzilla is stronger than Kong. We can establish that. But,
debatable,
it's close.
But
it's sure it's close. On. It's close. So, Godzilla kicks Kong's ass. He's standing over him and he roars in his face. And King Kong is like, all right, fine. I give up. And he's lying there. And you can tell he does this because he roars and looks sad.
Right.
So Godzilla stomps around. He's like, yes, fucking come on. All of a sudden, we find out what Apex had been working on. It's a Mecha Godzilla. They built a Mecha Godzilla.
Of course they
well,
did.
We've seen him before a long time, multiple times.
Right. This thing doesn't fuck about. It's super fast. It's got a lasers and it's got shoot stuff out of its mouth. And its tail is very spiky. It's fucking Godzilla up. And King Kong is asleep. He's like, oh, I'm so wounded. And the little girl's like, oh, his heart's stopping. So they get their spaceship. And Stellan Skarsgård flips a switch, which apparently toggles, shock paddle mode. They restart Kong's heart with the power of this spaceship. And then Kong's back, baby, gets his axe. And him and Godzilla fuck up Mechagodzilla. And then they look at each other and they give a kind of, we're cool, sort of nod. If you can imagine two monsters doing that. Yeah. And then they both fuck off, and that's the end of the movie.
Well, see, this is, to me, it's like
what
Batman
they,
versus
what do
Superman.
What do they do after,
do you know what I mean?
Though? What's that, like, where do they go? Just back to their, like, caves?
Godzilla goes back into the ocean? Godzilla goes back into the ocean? And King Kong goes ham. Home, back to the...
Goes ham.
Goes ham.
He goes eat some ham.
Yeah, now no one's going to stop, because me and Godzilla are chill. He fucks everything up. No, he goes back. He goes home. He goes underground.
I'd love that.
That would be
he's
the
like
best
keeping
ending.
An eye, and just as Godzilla's head goes under the water, he's like, just cracks his knuckles.
Gets the axe and just swings it at the little girl. He's killing everybody. Yes! No one's going to stop me. Me and Godzilla are cool now.
Then he gets in the spaceship and he fucking flies off to fuck up some other planets.
He went back to the Hollow Earth. That's it. He lives there.
God.
And he's happy there now. Eating bananas, giant bananas.
There's a wife or something, I don't know, Godzilla's wife, King Kong's wife comes out. It's like, what you been doing all day? And he's been, I've been playing with my friend. Fuck you, God.
Yeah, and he's like,
always on my case.
Now I remember why I went to the surface. Oh,
yeah.
Get away from
me.
There's a bunch of spaghetti in the sink that went cold because he was late back for dinner and stuff. She's all pissed with him.
Do you? So the thing of what happened was, I think when Godzilla originally came out, people said it was like this metaphor for nuclear war, right? And it was this kind of terrible destruction, wreaking havoc on Japan, and you know, radiation and all these things. And I never really quite understood that, but he was certainly a bad guy to begin with, right? And at least initially, when his initial moves, he was kind of bad. But then I think people over time, they love seeing him get defeated.
It's his
right?
little
and,
voice.
And they love him.
How can you not love that?
And so it's hard to like not have to keep bringing him back to beat him. So then he becomes the good guy, right? And I think so. He's got like this kind of fight history where he loses in the first three films, but then wins or draws basically every movie right. since. And he's lost a couple of times to various bad guys along the way, just as a kind of plot device. But mostly, Godzilla is in some way the hero.
Yeah, I mean, I think bizarrely. Essentially he's the hero in the sense that when these Titans turn up, who else is going to fight them? Because the funniest thing to me is they know this shit doesn't work and they're still like, launch the fighters! And fighter planes are flying towards them. And of course, it just goes plink plink off his armor and then he just swats him with his tail and some poor lad dies. And like, did they not figure this out? Also, there's a bit where he's fighting in the ocean with Kong, and King Kong is standing on an aircraft carrier because he can't swim very well. Godzilla can swim, no problem. And Godzilla pops out of the water. Now, we've already established in the previous shot that this water is hella deep because Godzilla grabs King Kong and drags him down there to try and choke him out into water, and King Kong finally gets up back upstairs, baths a load of seawater up, and they have a fight on an aircraft carrier. Now, Godzilla pops out of the water, and he's just chilling in the water. And I'm thinking, he must be treading water like a fucking duck. Like, Kong is just standing on an aircraft carrier, and Godzilla's just stationary in the water. He's not standing on any land. There's no land there. So his little legs must be going like the clappers under the water there. I want to see that. I want to see how Godzilla treads water, because he's so good at it. He's amazing.
Maybe the director's cut will have that footage. Maybe they just thought, this is too much. His legs are going like the clappers under there. We got to cut this out. We don't have enough space.
There's like an old lady like throwing slices of bread out into the harbor and just hoping for Godzilla snapping them up. You know, maybe that's how he got so big.
Maybe.
You know, just all these
bread.
Tourists feeding him loaves of bread. God, sometimes you do see that. You just see, like, apparently you're not supposed to feed
you're
like
not meant to feed Godzilla bread. It's very
I'm not sure what you're
stomach.
Supposed to feed. I'm not sure. He needs, like, have you got any radiation lying around? He's got any uranium?
If you're at a place where there are lots of ducks and birds and there's a cafe, they'll often sell duck food at the cafe, which is like little floaty, seedy things and stuff.
Talked
like
about
that.
This last week, didn't I? Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've got it in my mind.
It's important.
My God. What? I don't know whether that movie, I don't know whether we're allowed to, it's because it's a new movie, and I'm sure
listen,
we've now spoiled
if
the new movie.
If I've spoiled the fucking plot, quote unquote, of Godzilla vs. Kong, I'm so sorry. All right, that should cover
you
it.
You should be. Okay. You should be. There's a special place in hell for people like you, reserved for people like you.
It's so dumb. If you're watching it for the plot, fuck you. I'm glad I spoiled it. There you go. If you were watching it on the edge of your seat.
Just wanted to
check.
It's
so bad. Nobody saw that coming. Jeez.
The plot is so bad. I didn't watch it for
the
plot.
All the other Titans were kind of really... I think there's one... They're called like... I think one of them was called Muto, which is like unidentified terrestrial... Massive unidentified... terrestrial object, you know, and they're just basically big fucking, I mean, Mothra was basically a big moth, and there was a big Hydra, wasn't there, and they all looked like they were made of rubber,
but and yet somehow none of them are as cool as Godzilla. I wonder if that was part of the design process, if they designed a bunch of even cooler monsters and they must have been like, you can't put this one in because Godzilla's the star of the movie.
You're right, and that's how to really win, right, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether you're good at fighting. It just means if you're cooler. Because if they'd accidentally designed something for him to fight that was cooler than him, that thing would have stuck around more.
It's got to be pretty cool, but not as cool as Godzilla.
But this is how we've ended up with Kong versus Godzilla, because they're both now too cool.
They're too iconic.
Well, it's like Alien versus Predator, right? They were both pretty cool, and
they can't have one win. Oh my God, so really you could have predicted the plot of this thing from the start, because you know Batman and Superman, neither of them are actually going to kill the other one.
Right?
But
let me be
Spoilers
honest with
for
you.
That movie,
let me be honest with you.
Which
if you couldn't predict the plot of Kong versus Godzilla ahead of time, you're irredeemably thick, and you should probably just give up. That's what right. I'm saying. Well, like the whole plot is in the fucking trailer. If you've seen the trailer, you've seen the movie. That's the plot. Kong fights Godzilla. Kong get axe. Kong fight Mecha Godzilla with Godzilla. It's now in the fucking trailer.
Now all they need is Hannibal Lecter versus Buffalo Bill. Like they have to like track them down. They're both just like kidnapping and murdering crazy, and it's a race against time.
I don't think Buffalo Bill is a match for Lecter. We need a serial killer that goes with Lecter, like Lecter versus Jason.
You're right.
Lecter. I think Lecter's like the ultimate though, with the psychological bullshit and everything. Like you know, like Freddy, Jason, all like the sort of classic like movie horror monsters. Are like, you know, some sort of like possessed demon or whatever, but like Hannibal Lecter, you know, like he'll like wine and dine you and then eat your brains and stuff. You know what I mean? Like that's crazy. Like you can't see that coming. You know, Jason bursts into your garage while you're like in the middle of the night while you're gaming and he's got the mask on, you know, like what's up sort of thing. But
right.
Hannibal Lecter, like, you know, gently knocks on your door and does like that into you. Like you're like, oh shit. You don't know what's going
on. I wondered if I could borrow some Chianti.
Some fava beans.
You know, he won the Oscar for best actor for that movie. He was on his screen time was like 14 minutes in the whole movie, and he won the best actor.
Do you know the books?
It was iconic.
The books for those movies are all very good as well. By the way,
worth
reading.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'll say this: I loved Red Dragon, and I loved Silence of the Lambs, but the other ones got kind of stupid.
Well, Hannibal. Hannibal was a bit crazy. Crazy when he basically that if well I won't spoil it I guess it is weird
he ends up on an island in a dome and Hannibal fights Jason on an aircraft carrier. They have a big fight and Jason tries to drag Hannibal
and
down
at one
underwater.
Point he's treading so much water and you think how is Hannibal doing it, like his legs must have gone like the clappers under there, but I guess it's a steady diet of fava beans that just give him all the energy
he
needs
and
to
gets
do
the,
it
the biggest fava bean in the world from his underground lair using mystical energies, and then
he charges it up in a pot,
he drops it on Jason,
cooks it.
Yeah
Oh my god, what's the that this we, you're right though, this is it, we need to find two evil people because then at least it's unpredictable, you know, people are gonna be like who does win, you know.
Yeah,
and maybe you even leave it open at the end of the movie. You don't even reveal who wins, you know, you just fucking really
if
troll
they teamed
them
up
it.
At least when the Titans teamed up at the end, Godzilla and Kong were just like, they both just want to go back home. Like Godzilla wants to chill at the bottom of the ocean and Kong wants to go sleep on an island. Like that's it. Or you know,
why did they come up in the first place? Oh, did something wake them?
Well,
someone
we
was
don't
like
know.
Banging
they,
on there.
They
someone
might have
was
mentioned
doing
it.
Some drilling.
They might have
or
mentioned it, but who cares? I mean, they're here now and you know, we could send them home.
They're here now,
and
we just
gotta
deal
ocean.
With it. That's the hand that we've been dealt. Okay. I mean, that's,
this is what
not
we
look
this
into
is
it too
it,
much.
This is life, isn't it? You know,
but the maddest thing to me is
exactly
because everybody's just going about their day. Like there are still kids in school, they're like, oh, it's been 3 years since the last Godzilla attack. I'm thinking, how can you just get on with your life? Like, just carrying on. At any moment, Godzilla might come out of the ocean and just level your city.
Life finds a way.
And you're just like, where's my coffee? I've been waiting 5 minutes for my coffee. Smashing your city. You think, oh, life is short and I've wasted it. Like, that's how could anybody just carry on as normal? And here's the dumbest thing. They're still building skyscrapers. People
need
Please.
Places to live and work, Flax. I mean, you can't just...
Godzilla didn't give a fuck about that. Neither does King Kong.
You gotta weigh it up, like the risk versus the reward, okay? Godzilla attacks, what, once every, like, 10 years or something like that? I mean, that's a lot
years.
Of high living. Oh, 3 years.
I think
years,
it's so. Madness. I just can't believe
got,
the planning.
The thing
is
you've
very
got
poor.
To consider that, you know, those buildings basically function as ways for Kong to jump onto Godzilla and subdue him, right?
Yeah.
So,
uses,
you know, they've got...
Tactically uses the terrain.
They've still got to build skyscrapers in this post-Godzilla society.
I think they should build, like, a little parkour court. Huge parkour, like, area for Kong and Godzilla.
Why
to
don't they just build, like, a fake city, right? For Godzilla to
he ain't gonna
ravage
fall for
every
that.
Time.
He ain't thick.
Right.
He can sense stuff. He senses things. He knew what was up.
Right.
He sensed right through that one.
Mm-hmm. He knew what was up.
Hey, slightly different subject.
Tangential.
Because I've had some time off, I picked up and was playing the new game that came out, Outriders. Have you guys seen or heard of this?
I heard it had some pretty bad reviews.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Division, Destiny mixed together, I'd say. So it's like, okay. It's like a looter shooter with like cover. Kind of like the Division, you know, you're like third person, and you shoot, and
you loot.
Yeah, there's like gear similar to like Destiny. There's like abilities kind of like in Destiny. It's not an amazing game, but I mean, I played through the campaign, which was like, I don't know, like 20 hours or something. And the end game is like you do these expeditions that you increase in difficulty, but then you get better loot for them and stuff as well. They're like time challenges sort of thing. So it's like there's like some progression like after the game and stuff, and like the story is left open for there to probably be, I don't know if it's gonna be a sequel or if they're gonna do DLCs or whatever. Hopefully it's just DLCs, but I don't know. But I didn't hate it. Like I said, it's a game that probably should have come out like 15 years ago. Like it hasn't done anything new. It's just like taken a bunch of existing games and genres and kind of mixed them together, and I think it works. But like. It's all right if you're bored and you don't have anything else to play. It's worth playing through it. I think it's not too
bad.
Well,
that's the thing with these AAA games. Like people really,
it's crazy though. Like
they expect them to be really good.
Yeah,
and they cost a lot.
Yeah.
And usually they're well.
This one's really buggy as well. There's lots of it's predominantly a single player game until you get to end game, and then there's some emphasis on teaming up to do these harder challenges, but it's a always online single player. So I had times, because it just been released and I think they were having some problems with their servers or whatever, I had times where literally I was watching a cutscene and then an error message would come up mid cutscene saying you've lost your connection or whatever, and you can't watch the cutscene, but you can still hear it in the background as it's disconnecting you from the game.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty weird.
On the Christmas sale when it's 15 quid, I'll probably buy it, but when it's new at 50 quid, I'll probably give it a pass. Yeah. But that's kind of how I feel about some stuff like that. I really enjoyed doing that with Death Stranding because I didn't think I'd like it.
Oh, man, I love
it. So I wouldn't
Death Stranding.
Pay full price for it. But I ended up really, really enjoying Death Stranding.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think I
keep
would.
Saying.
Because that was the same, right? It had mixed reviews.
I would love if they just sort of left, you know, like a fraction of the team behind to just keep updating the game. But how awesome would it be if, like, post the story and stuff, they just released some DLCs that made a infinitely replayable mail delivery game, like using like the world and stuff that you can like build up, make easier, better for you, and you could just do your parcel deliveries and like manage a warehouse and stuff, but it's like it's still Death Stranding, it's still the theme, it's still like your character and stuff, but you just go on to just, you know, do like the mundane mechanical stuff of the game.
It's kind of unusual. I mean, that's what they did with Fallout 4, didn't they?
Yeah.
They added like the workshop DLC and stuff like this. It was quite unusual. It kind of took the game in this odd direction, but actually for some players, it was a really fun thing. Yeah. Anyway, what are you going to say, P-Flex?
I was going to say, I've kind of been on a turn-based tactics thing at the moment.
Yes, you played XCOM.
Yeah.
I saw you.
So
I did another
full run on XCOM 2 and finished it and everything on not Legend, but the one below that. What does that come on?
Oh, Commander, good. That's the good one to do it on. Legendary is not worth doing. It just adds too much time.
People were like, you should do the Long War. And I did the Long War once. Like, not to completion. Oh. It's ridiculous.
No,
it's ridiculous.
I did it. It takes forever.
Yeah, that's what
I
thought.
A long war.
Well, yeah, but geez. You've played XCOM 2, right?
Yeah.
Right, so imagine that, but every pod, instead of being like three or four lads, is like 10. And like, there's mission after mission after mission after mission after mission.
I honestly think that the game is balanced well enough to just play it normally without having to do that.
I mean, I play with
it's replayable
with a bunch of mods,
too, right?
But like, it is very replayable.
Yeah.
And chat gets very attached to certain lads.
Yes.
Who like get you out of jail, especially that in the end game, like the last 10 or 15 missions that you're doing, your lads are like superheroes and they're sort of pretty much unstoppable. In that mid game period when you're just getting towards the good tech and some good skills, that's when you start losing lads that are like, oh my god, like I had missions
crushing
where it was just a wipe, like everyone would die and they were all my best guys. It's like, well, this is over. and like restart me, the whole thing.
Me and Ben always used to describe it as like this slope where if you start slipping down the slope, you just can't. It's this snowball effect where you get worse and worse and worse. Whereas if you can stay on in front of the losing people and like the quality of your gear and stuff, you can stay ahead.
Because otherwise, it's a cascade failure effect. Like you lose a mission, and then because of that, you don't have the good lads you need to do this next tough mission that comes up, and so you lose people there, and it's just like, we're broke and we're failing missions and now our money's cunted. So yeah, it gets very difficult.
There is catch up. There is some catch up in the training and stuff. And you can fill in gaps in the squad. You can recover. But my God, sometimes it's so frustrating. One tactic game I recommend is Gears Tactics. I played that last year. It's on Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, that looks really good, actually. Yeah.
It's worth playing.
It's on PC,
really,
right?
It's on PC. So it's like $50 game, but it's on Xbox Game Pass, which is like a $10. This is not an advert for that either.
It's probably, even though it's not an advert for it, it probably is the best value, like, Game Pass thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it for $50, no. But I'd sign up for £10 and play it.
So I then started playing Phoenix Point, which is similar to XCOM.
Wait, is that the one about the attorney? Like, objection?
We've had this before. I'm sure you had that before. We thought that's Phoenix Wright Attorney at Law.
Oh.
Okay, Phoenix Point is like XCOM.
It's made by, it's designed with Julia Gobb, who made the original
Laser XCOM. Squad and the original XCOM and Rebel Star Raiders and all that
stuff. I played a lot of it when it was early, and I haven't played it in about a year
There's
and a half.
There's been like three expansions or something for it. Anyway, I'd never played it before. I had it, but I'd never played it. And I got it, and I was playing it, and the problem is, it's much slower than XCOM.
Okay.
It's much more, there's much more shit to manage than XCOM. The curve is not as obvious. In XCOM, it's pretty obvious what things you need, what's better, and how you're going to progress, and you build up your rooms, and they kind of hold your hand a little bit with the plot. They're sort of like, we're going to need a proving ground to build these knives. We're going to need a training center to improve this. And they kind of tell you what you're meant to be doing and stuff like that. So it's a little bit sort of like, well, off you go, and you've got this huge map of unexplored stuff, and there's a lot more random events that you get and stuff like that.
Fucking all this happens inside a courthouse? That's fucking
I know,
nuts.
It's incredible.
Holy shit.
So mutants have like taken over the planet or something, and you've got to stop them. So it's just like an alien
disease. Well, the thing I liked about Phoenix Point was that you could target specific areas of a monster.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
Right, and so you could shoot its legs off, or shoot it in the head, or disarm it and stuff. And sometimes, you know, actually those choices would be quite meaningful, right? You'd think, like, this thing's gonna lob a fucking grenade at me unless I get rid of its grenade launcher, and this thing's gonna charge at me unless I try and slow it down, you know. And so you do have to make those choices on the fly. And I don't know, like, when we played it was buggy, and we found loads of different ways to kind of break the game, which was its own kind of fun.
Yeah,
but it just didn't feel, I don't know, it just didn't have a very good soul to
it. But that's the thing, is it's not very cinematic. Like, if you think about XCOM, one of the things that makes XCOM so good is that you feel like you're in the middle of an action movie, and you're the one directing the action, and your characters seem cool, and the things that they do look cool, and it's tense, and there's drama, and you feel like it's an action sequence playing out. Whereas in Phoenix Point, it feels like a more methodical, it feels more like a board game, and less like an action game, which XCOM is like a tactical action game. Even though there's no real-time action, it lends itself to this idea that, I mean, you get so attached to your dudes because of their sort of superhuman abilities and stuff like this, that they pull off some amazing shot, or it's like some clutch ability they've got that turns the fight for you. Phoenix Point so far has felt a bit more steady eddy and kind of stately by comparison. And some of the enemies, I don't know what they're doing, but they certainly aren't threatening me. Like, I'm sure that's just the early game. But in the early game of XCOM, I always felt concerned about being shot at, and I felt like I could lose lands. In this, the mutants just seem to
I love the little details in XCOM as well. Like, I love how you have, like, squad members from different parts of the world. Like, you have, like, the Scottish guy, and when you click him, and he's Roger Balanced. You know, he goes, like, I love all that kind of stuff. Just the little details that make it, like, immersive.
I mean,
that
kind of
fun.
Thing is there. Like, there's different voices and customizing your lads and everything. But it, I don't know, it's just missing that little je ne sais quoi that XCOM 2 has. So
it is.
Then I started playing. I thought I played it for a bit off stream, and I thought this is going to be shit to stream because it's kind of, you know, a little boring. I'll probably finish it, but it is a little boring. Banner Saga. which I'd never played.
Oh,
other
I've
than
tried
like
to play that a couple of times. It's I found
that
it
is
slow.
Such it is such a good game. Like I'm absolutely loving
well,
it.
Well, there's three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I kickstarted the original ones.
You can get it for a tablet. Like I played it on the plane one time. Oh, I tried to play it on the plane one time. I just couldn't concentrate. I don't know why. Like I just couldn't get into it. But it was good.
I feel
good,
like it's a little bit unforgiving when I played it.
It is very
it
hard.
Like it was a little bit hard. Like I
think the setting like, for me doesn't click either. Like I feel like having played a lot of XCOM, like you know, like my turn-based tactical games, like I want some guns and stuff, you know, like future guns and grenades and like, you know, grenade launchers and stuff. Like I really like that setting.
You are fighting these kind of weird ancient robot things though, I get it. Like I don't know why it didn't click with me. Like I've literally tried and failed to play these games through, and it wasn't one thing either. I think I just either got bored or just didn't feel invested. I don't know. There's something weird about it.
Have you guys played Evil Genius 2 yet? Have you picked it
up?
No, it's sitting on my hard drive.
You have recommended it.
No, yeah, you put me on it.
I think it's all right. I think it needs some patches or some work, honestly. Like I think it's pretty good. Like I think as a successor to a game that came out a long time ago, it feels it's an Evil Genius game, you know, like they captured everything really well. I just think
it
some of the mechanics
tropico,
need a little
or like
bit of
silly
work.
kind of you know, like do you know what I mean, like you're kind of playing like Tropico, you're kind of playing this evil, not evil, but like, you know,
yeah, it's
kind
a
of
little
banana
bit,
republic
yeah.
It's rogue nuclear state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Selling weed and stuff. Oh, no, that's the thing you can't do, isn't it? You can't do any of that stuff in Tropico. It's all like, all the fun stuff is like slightly out the way.
Yeah, you can't. In Tropico, it's more like you can make cigars and export them and like, you know, canned food and stuff. But no, you don't really get to do any of the other stuff, you know? You don't get to become like a cocaine lord.
I'm gonna pick this up and have a go this week since you've mentioned it.
Yeah, let me know what you think.
What,
like,
Evil Genius
2? I'm just holding off. Yeah, I'm just holding off bothering to play it because I'm just like, I mean, I watched Tom's vid of it and I spoke to you about it and I was just kind of like, I don't know. I played Evil Genius apparently checking at Steam back in like 2011 or something like
oh,
that.
Oh right, okay.
I played it. And I quite enjoyed it then, but I looked at it and I was like, it doesn't really look like a huge amount of change. Like, it looks pretty much like the same.
No, it's game. I mean, it's more or less that they've changed some bits and pieces, but I think that if you know, like say 20 years later, however much time it is before a game comes out, I think like they would have had some time to maybe like rethink or redesign some of the mechanics. And I think they have done that with some stuff, but for other stuff like the world map, particularly the whole system of the world map and minions' resources and all that kind of stuff, I think that it could have been a bit better. Like it just doesn't. I don't know. It just you don't get the satisfaction that I felt like you got from the first game of sending people out into the world and doing stuff for you. And the whole way that like heat is generated and stuff kind of didn't make much sense either. But to be fair, this is like fairly early on in the game. Maybe it gets a little bit better. I also found the traps a little bit underwhelming too. But again, maybe they get better later.
They always were. I mean, that's the thing. They genuinely always were. It's like the best you could do was delay. Like, I think the thing is, you feel like what you're meant to be building. Did you ever play Dungeon Keeper?
No, I never played Dungeon Keeper, actually. It's like a classic that everybody's played and loved or whatever.
Well,
I never
War for the Overworld
them.
Is
that's
the modern
yeah, that's
sort
modern
of succession. That was in the Jingle Jam bundle, so you've actually probably owned that Sips already. Oh, right.
It is fun.
If you fancy a little sort of silly thing, it's good. It is good fun, and it's a classic kind of Evil Genius simulator. Yeah. Really.
I think you'd actually enjoy it more because it's not... It is about what I think you're talking about Evil Genius 2 as if the objective is to build these traps in the base and stuff.
Yeah.
But really the objective is to achieve whatever your Evil Genius goal is. So you just need to delay them long enough for the timers to run down and you to complete your goal. In the Dungeon Keeper and stuff like that, you are actually trying to build an impenetrable sort of dungeon. Like that's the thing. Because the adventurers are going to come in and you're going to have to kill them and you need to have just the right combination of enemies and traps and like that so that you can win those battles. I reckon you'd enjoy it more because it seems like more the kind of thing. You don't give a shit about heat. You're the bad guy. They're gonna come. You just have to get the right stuff, get the right traps, get the right people. I reckon you'd like it.
So what I've been playing actually almost exclusively over the last couple of weeks has been Factorio, believe it or not. I've ticked over to 1,000 hours in Factorio.
Why not play that Dyson Sphere program?
Well, I did. That's I completed it, and I enjoyed it. And that's what got me back into Factorio. And so there's a couple of mods for Factorio. One of them is this one called C-Block, which is basically Skyblock in Minecraft. So you start on a tiny square and with a tree. Oh,
and you just have to... that's pretty cool.
And you have
actually.
To kind of build these like kind of these machines that convert like get small amounts of minerals out of water, and you use that and refine that over and over again until you finally get a machine that makes you an iron plate. And then so I'm playing it with a lot of different mods actually. One of them was which you can actually speed up time, so it's like it's almost like a speed hack,
right?
So if you're waiting for something to happen, you can just speed up time and kind of stand there while the factory chunks through all of the backlog. But man, I've built this ludicrous factory, the size of which I've never built before. Wow. In Factorio.
Yeah, I like that. Have you played much Satisfactory? That might be one worth playing as
I'm
well.
Waiting for the new, so they just put a new post on the experimental for Satisfactory for the next tier. Yeah. But I own Satisfactory on Epic, and I'm too much of a cheapskate to buy it on Steam, because that's the only place you can get the experimental
are
version.
You serious?
I refuse to buy Satisfactory on a second platform. No, yeah. So I'm just waiting for the official version, and I can play that. But I also, in a sense, like don't want to get back into Satisfactory because it's such a time sink as well, right?
Oh,
it's basically a really fun, but anyway, I've been watching a lot of like documentaries and stuff while I've been playing Factorio. I found like I sometimes just want a game that I can play while I'm watching something because after recent chats I've been watching a lot of the documentaries you guys have been watching and stuff. I watched a documentary called Tickled. Did I tell you about this?
No.
It's a good one. It's about these people who set up a professional world tickling championship, right? And it's this thing that sort of went viral a few years ago.
Tickled is amazing.
Yes, it's a great documentary about going into... It's the guy who did Dark Tourist, so he's like the knockoff New Zealand Louis Theroux.
Where can I watch this?
David Ferrier. I rented it on Amazon for about £1.50
right.
After it was recommended to
me by
someone. In
essence, there is a pornographic sort of subgenre.
Well, like, yeah, I think I realized it was some sort of fetish thing pretty early,
right.
The tickling thing.
But it's literally these good-looking young guys being tickled.
Well, the thing is, it's not even a fetish for...
But do they laugh a lot?
Ordinary people. It's a fetish for one guy. It's like one guy has got a tickling fetish and has built a whole industry to satisfy his own fetish.
I wonder how many times that's been done in history
really
for various things.
So fucking weird.
It is bonkers.
So it's a great documentary.
But the weird thing is that that's the weirdest thing. In that, like, you think, oh my god, I want to know more about this. There, it gets a lot weirder.
Yeah,
like as they dig into this guy and what he's like and all this stuff, it gets so fucking strange. And it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You get completely caught up in this bonkers story, and you can see, like, you almost see the documentary maker becoming obsessed with finding out what the fuck is this about? Like, what is going on? Like, it's
what's
amazing.
It called? Tickled?
Tickled. Okay. We definitely spoke about it on a previous podcast. You've got to watch it. Anybody that's listened to this, it is brilliant. It is a wonderful documentary.
Man, I've been watching some more Storyville stuff. Like, I watched the one about Teflon and the poisoning the rivers and stuff like that.
And then
we watched the one, The Secrets of the $1 trillion Island, the one about Jersey. And the historical child abuse stuff at Hotel Le Garin. We watched that one, which was really good. It's strange because
it's like on your doorstep.
I was living here while all that was going on, and they were interviewing a lot of the people that I remember seeing on the news, like the chief of police at the time, and the
I'd love it if you were like in the shop background, or they interviewed you at the time on the street, and you didn't remember.
What do you think of all this? Well,
well, I was just in my garage.
I was just trying this new game called Evil Genius 2. I don't know if you heard of it. it's really good. It could have been not good, but I just think that the whole format for Storyville is just so good. Like everything that they've done is excellent. It's worth a watch. But it was just crazy. Like the summary of it, and I think like the point that they were trying to sort of make with it all, and the people that they interviewed, like ex-government people and stuff. from over here is that they just, instead of believing people's stories or even showing any interest in helping them out, all they were worried about was the island's reputation, international economic reputation, and you know how
as a reputation just, for being a tax haven. Yeah, we want
well,
people
not
to
just
make
that,
sure they can still come and
not just that, but like it's you know a place where very very big corporations squirrel away a lot of money, like Apple for example. But they found
they love
they
keeping
found
their
memos,
reputation going. Yeah.
Sort of saying like I think there was like a memo like out of Apple at one point that said like, oh, we need to make sure that, like, you know, the everything is very stable there or else we wouldn't be interested in, like, having our money there and stuff like that. So there was definitely a lot of pressure for them to just sort of, like,
yeah.
Shut
so
up about
Ireland,
all this.
Didn't
and
they, is their tax haven, Apple
probably,
did.
Yeah.
Because they went through and they kind of spoke to the governments and it felt like they were like, you know, who can give us the best deal? You know, I mean, when you're a company, the biggest company in the world, and you've just sat on billions of dollars, you can kind of go to the head of the state and just be like, yeah, you know, what would you give us? Putting our money here.
I
you
think
know,
what and... astounds me about that is, and I'd love someone to answer this question. If you're a country and you have these big companies there and they yeah. come to you and say, we're not paying any taxes, we're not even employing many people here, what are you going to do to keep us here? Why are these governments falling over themselves to keep those companies there? Like, why are we bending well, over and saying, oh my God, Amazon, yes, whatever you want, and letting them pay no money? How are they holding you hostage?
I don't know.
You
I
should
guess...
be holding them hostage. You,
no,
they
but
need
I
your
think
business.
That they probably just think that if they help them out somewhere down the road, it'll be beneficial to them or whatever. You
it's
know
moronic.
What I mean?
That's
well,
what I don't understand
is
well, if
this
these
is
companies...
This is the world we live yeah, in.
Right, but
right,
I don't understand
it?
How they get away with it without
well,
bribing people.
That, well, here's the thing. You're like, well, once you leave office, don't worry. We'll give you a corporate
right, exactly.
on the board.
Yeah. So there has to be some
that's
kind of bribery.
All it is.
But my question is
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it is.
If you look
it's,
at America...
But that's like reverse bribery, isn't it? It's like,
right. But I saw a chart the other day about the amount of tax that these companies pay. Amazon, of course, paid almost zero tax. Most of these companies, in fact, get rebates from the government to help them out because they paid no tax. It's all clever accounting.
It's best to avoid
all the rest
being
of it.
Angry about this stuff, be flexible, just understanding, being exasperated and expecting the world to be fully
no,
corrupt
no, no, no.
And
I just
terrible.
I just have one question, which I would genuinely like an answer to, is these companies clearly need to do business, otherwise they wouldn't be making money. They need to be able to sell their stuff in your country. Why don't we just say to these companies, and this is like when they say, well, they take their business elsewhere. If we said to Amazon, either you pay your taxes or you can't trade here anymore, what would be the downside to that for us? We can't buy shit on Amazon?
I think it's even simpler than that. Like, I think all you do is Amazon knows how much profit they made in the UK. You say, we audit you and say, you know, you tell us how much you made in the UK and you pay your tax on that. That's all. We want, you know, tax
right,
on
but
the amount
say,
of business
they
you
always
got
say,
from this
we'll
country.
We'll take our offices elsewhere.
Yeah.
But then you say, fine.
What
then
do you mean?
Well, that's what the threat always is, oh, we can't lose Amazon. They employ X number of people in this country. Like, that's the government's fear, is if the companies leave, they'll take the jobs. But I think then you should say to them, fine, then you can't trade here. You're banned.
Well, but you know what it's like. Like, something else will rise in its place, and who are willing to pay the tax.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Right,
so
like,
if you believe
you know,
in the free market,
we have too good
to
go,
it.
But maybe they
yeah,
have,
they
you
got
know,
too good to... Too good to go is just poised, ready to take over when...
And it'll be Dumpster Dinner's app in some other
country. I just don't understand
country,
what
mean?
Threat they have. So that's how you know it's corruption, because the companies should be begging the government to let them do business there and trade. The government holds all the cards. They can just fucking boot them out.
You're preaching to the converted here, PFLAX.
I don't get
we
it.
We agree.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. Maybe we need a political scientist to tell us why we're so stupid.
On the
let us know.
So
a
yeah,
legal
but
expert,
no. Anyway, that Storyville episode
and
is
Godzilla.
You watch it if you're interested in that kind of stuff because it touches on some of that stuff as
it
well.
It does make me angry yeah. though. Whereas the tickling one just made me confused.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And mildly aroused.
I did watch one about an art heist. It was called something like the $60 million art heist or something. I think it's a BBC.
That was a Storyville one as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
about,
some
the,
great,
about the French
great,
guy who,
yeah.
who went
we,
to America.
We've been loving our documentaries.
Oh, man. That's all
oh,
I watch.
God.
I just watch documentaries.
Well, this is why I've been playing Factorio. Because I've got this. I keep adding games to this list of things I want to play. But every time I play them, I'm like, I kind of want to be watching something in the background. But what I do is I realize that I'm watching that thing and I'm it depends how often I'm pausing it. Like Loop Hero was okay because I wouldn't have to pay too much attention.
That was really funny.
So what you're telling me is you're playing Factorio and you've got a documentary on the other screen, and because Factorio doesn't require like...
Well, this is how I end up sinking so many hours into WoW and other things, right? Because there's such AFK
games. There's a lot of downtime in Factorio where you're just kind of like thinking about what you want to do next, but you're not in the middle of doing it. So you can just watch a bit of documentary, I guess.
Or it's just so boring. Like, I mean, I've got drones now, so I can kind of copy paste stuff, but it's not like even
I
want to
try
like
the new RimWorld
deal.
I know it's not new anymore, but the royalty one, like I need to get around to trying that as well. I gotta play again now that there's been
so
a lot
many
of
games.
Yeah, there's tons
anyway,
of stuff. Yeah.
We're gonna go and play some games. Thank you everyone for listening.
Oh man,
I do want to shout out that we do still have a Patreon. We haven't been managing it very well lately because Tom went on holiday, and as I said earlier, the Yogs only has like four staff, so he went on holiday. I forgot about it. We didn't post episodes for a few days, but we're supposed to, and we will be posting episodes on there early to supporters.
And sorry as well. Sorry about that.
Thank you to people who support us on Patreon for so long. We do appreciate that very much. We're going to have a look at it and see whether we want it to continue and whether we can give some special rewards there. We'll have a chat amongst ourselves. And if we can't make it work, we'll shut it down. Because, you know, it was originally a thing where this podcast had no monetization for years. And then this was our...
And also, it was originally just a way for us to have those jugs made and sell them. So maybe like...
That was fun. So maybe we should do something
fun
like
again
that
to make
again.
It worth it.
I'm not going to start reading out all the names of people. I know you, some podcasts do that and I hate it, but I do love all of you individually, and I want you to know that I do look at it and I do respond to the messages and see people on there. So thank you everyone for supporting there. So yeah, also you can follow us on Spotify. New episodes come out every Wednesday, as you guys know. So thank you for the support, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.